I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to It's Your Agribusiness. Very pleased to have the South Dakota Farmers Union in this hour, as we do on the second Tuesday each month. You can listen live, or you can go to the podcast on both South Dakota Farmers Union website or the Kettle AM website. But let's make it official. Welcome to South Dakota Farmers Union Ag Business Report. South Dakota Farmers Union, uniting farmers, ranchers, and rural communities, strengthening South Dakota's Farmers Union. Doug Somke, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. What a great day, huh?
It is a great day, and with Luke, pretty good crop of people to talk to today.
Yeah, looking forward to the show. We're going to have Darren Von Druden back on. He didn't get much time last month, so I thought it would be nice to have him come back and talk to us about what we can do to try to help out the dairy industry as well.
CFAP payments, tell us what we should be hearing there.
Yeah, the payments haven't all been distributed yet. They're still short about 20% of what the allocated to be given out. So we'll have an update on that. There's supposedly a second round of those payments coming out, too. We haven't heard much about them yet, so we'll get an update on that as well.
And we're going to check out the South Dakota State Fair, the Sioux Empire Fair, just completed. They don't share numbers anymore, but they were very happy with the support. And one of the things we're seeing, Doug, is that people are just happy to have a fair with surrounding states not able to do it.
Yeah. You know, it really is a tough thing. I mean, I grew up at the state fair. I mean, I've never missed a fair since I've been 10 years old. So this one is going to be completely different than anything we've ever seen. So it's going to be interesting to see how things go. But you're right. It's something that a lot of other states aren't able to do, and we're still having it here in South Dakota.
Steve McCants with the Farm Family of the Month. I was talking about his son, who is a quarterback at Wayne State, and he said, well, I was a quarterback too. So I thought it was kind of funny to talk about what they do. We're going to talk with Anthony Bly as well, Extension Field Specialist, crop report from around the state. And Laura Edwards is going to give us an update on what we can expect. So not a bad show today, Doug.
No, it's going to be full. It'll go fast like it always does, Bill.
Well, let's let you introduce Darren.
Well, Darren Von Druden is the president of Wisconsin Farmers Union. He's also the secretary of National Farmers Union, and he is also the secretary of Farmers Union Enterprises. So he wears a lot of hats, like a lot of us do in Farmers Union, and he's going to be talking to us about, what he's got an answer for how we can maybe fix what's happening with the dairy industry and the oversupply, and what we can do to adjust so farmers can get a decent price and make a living.
All right, Darren, have we built you up enough?
Well, I think so. As Doug said, the many hats, it's something different and needs to be done, and when people trust you to take care of the leadership positions, you move into it and do the best that you can. But getting to the dairy industry too, I think some of the issues that we have to look at is how not only federal but state monies are being distributed, and how different states have different programs that affect the farmers that live in their states, whether they're small, medium, or large. And just looking at some of the EQIP money that's out there, and that's the Environmental Quality Improvement Program, there's only a certain number of dollars that are allotted to each state from the federal government. And here in Wisconsin, we've, over the years, have had larger farms have been able to take advantage of that program more efficiently and effectively than the smaller farms. It would be nice if there was payment limits on that to make sure that some of the smaller farms could adopt some of those same environmental technologies that the larger farms do, so that we can continue to have a good quality water program, not only in Wisconsin, but other states that neighbor us too. And then, when you look at, some of the other programs that are out there, and each state really has different ways of looking at how to entice businesses to come into their states. And South Dakota has been doing a fairly good job at attracting farms whether it's, you know, good or bad, that's still probably to be determined. But when you look at the I-29 corridor and how the dairy industry has really blossomed in the last 20 years along that corridor, the amount of dollars that the state has put into, you know, a few large farms really begs the question whether or not they're really competitive with the smaller farms that might just be across the border into Minnesota. Minnesota does have some programs, but nothing like what South Dakota is doing to entice the dairy industry into that state right now. So, you know, when you look at some of these operations, their owners are always complaining about we don't have a level playing field in the world with you know, our neighbors in the north that have a supply management program and continue to make sure that their farmers are making a living through, you know, government interaction with other governments from around the world to make sure their farmers can produce the majority of the milk and dairy products that they consume in that country. Meanwhile, here in the U.S., we have this unintended growth, and when you're seeing 5, 10, even 20,000 cow operations still being built at this time yet when we have too much milk in the country the way it is. You know, we have to figure out a way that we don't continue to consume one of our most natural resources and precious natural resources, which is water, at a rate that doesn't need to be. You know, and we're overproducing 2 to 3% on a yearly basis. You know, why are we continuing to do that? And, you know, I think that's one of the things that Farmers Union and here in Wisconsin, and then also the Wisconsin Farm Bureau has also taken a hard stand here in the last year on trying to figure out a growth management program so that we continue to have enough dairy products for the consumers out there and make sure that they can be distributed in a timely basis, but also make sure that we're not over-consuming those natural resources that we need so dearly.
Doug, it wasn't long ago that you and the president from the North Dakota Farmers Union were part of 60 Minutes, all concerned about where the money was going. Was it going to help the small farmers?
Yeah, you know, that was a very good story talking about how farmers aren't all treated equally, just as Darren is talking about. And you know, we talk about, you know, how farmers are really looked up to and for the work that they do and really appreciated. But the fact of the matter is it isn't a fair playing field, as Darren said, because, first of all, the laws that are implemented for distributing these funds aren't being followed or they're not very clear. And so it's allowing these abuses to happen. And all we're doing is really making the bigger farmers bigger and not really helping what we see as the average farmer, the farmer that really helps the rural community. Too many times these bigger farmers, and when I'm talking bigger farmers, Bill, what I'm talking about, I'm not talking about, you know, the guy that's in the community and the farm family. I'm talking about Cargill and ADM. They get a lot of this money, and their people that they have contracted to deliver to them get a lot of this money too. And that's where a lot of the problems are. We're not getting the money to the right people, as Darren mentioned.
Darren, from your side, too, you mentioned that your Farm Bureau folks had kind of started working with you guys on the same kind of a project. It's good to be able to come together when we have these kind of shortages.
Yeah, you know, it's when you look at, you know, the current situation because of the worldwide pandemic, it certainly makes you look at really the whole picture. And it has the idea of getting bigger and bigger really going to be good for us in a time like this too? You know, if we had many small processing plants, and you know, in South Dakota, the beef processing and pork processing plants have had the real issue. You know, here in Wisconsin, we had the dairy issue with dumping, having to dump milk because we couldn't get the processing capacity switched over to what the consumer demand was with this change in people's travel habits and then just not being able to go out. You know, there was more than enough milk there. It's just that distribution network and distribution system that really compounded the problem when we got to that situation. So, you know, I think, and we're hearing a lot of it here in Wisconsin, that the consumer wants to see smaller processing facilities, whether it's beef or dairy, so that they have the opportunity to buy that product more locally, too, is really becoming a bigger issue, and how we stop depending on foreign companies to, you know, process the food that we need so dearly to eat here in this country.
Doug, from your side, how well do you work with these other farmers' union presidents? And the fact that this guy's also got a second position there with the National Farmers' Union, important that we do share, not only with Farm Bureau, but people in other states.
Yeah, no, exactly. And we do work with all our other states. Darren and I work together quite often. Like I said, he's the secretary of our Farmers Union Enterprises as well. And there's five states in that group. And that's our for-profit entity that we oversee for our members. And that's what keeps us going. And we don't just do that, Bill. We also work with other states that aren't in our FUE group on the same topic as Darren is just talking about. And everybody's different, you know. I mean, the southern states have a lot of different issues than we do. And it seems like when we write these farm bills, that's what happens. We either make them so that they're, you know, very lucrative for the southern states or otherwise for the northern states. And we don't seem to include all of them. And that's something that Darren is trying to do with his dairy thing. And he's been around the country, all over the country, actually, talking to different states about and different organizations about what he's trying to propose for the dairy industry, and likewise what we're doing with our IMSET program in South Dakota here. So we do talk to all these other states a lot, Bill, and that's part of it, you know, and getting to understand what they see as difficulties. Why is it that we always write these farm bills, you know, for different portions of the country? Why can't we make it so that's, you know, works for everyone? And it's something we're always trying to work on. And it's becoming a lost art, especially in Washington, D.C. You see that with all the polarized politics.
Gentlemen, we appreciate the discussion. I would compare the dumping of milk to the euthanasia of pigs that we faced a couple of months ago. And happily, we had Minnesota, Iowa, and South Dakota all working together to improve it. And, Darren, they did. So we appreciate what you're doing and sharing with us. We got to keep after it, guys.
Yes, thanks, Bill.
No matter what home means to you, there's surely something nostalgic about the place we call home, where we're known to hug and shake hands with our family and friends. How can we put into words what it means to be home? Well, here's a couple of quotes. Home is the starting place for love, hope, and dreams. Nothing more important than a good, safe, secure home, and there's no place like home. We've all been spending more time at home lately. It's given us more of an appreciation of what home is all about and what we should look for in our next home. The Tony Bachman Group works hard. They're current with our market, able to answer your questions, adapting to the current situation, using the technology that the buyers and sellers really like. The virtual tours, the showings, everything that can lead us to peace of mind, where we can go back and shake hands and give hugs again. Your trusted name in real estate, the Tony Bachman Group, TonyBachmanGroup.com.
The world is learning something farmers and ranchers have known for generations. Some jobs can only get done by working together, like protecting the ethanol industry and fighting back against meat packing monopolies. Today, the entire world is working together to beat the coronavirus. Every day, South Dakota Farmers Union members are working together to protect our rural lifestyle. Join today for tomorrow.
Kim Commando, Saturdays 10 to noon. Kello, News Talk 1320, 107.9.
South Dakota Farmers Union Show. I'm Bill Zortman, Doug Somke, President, South Dakota Farmers Union. And we got to stop with FSA now.
Yeah, we're going to get to visit with Jamie White. We've had Jamie on in the past, and she does a great job updating us on what's happening, especially in these disaster aid programs. So looking forward to what she has to share with us today.
Jamie, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Doug, you wanted to talk a little bit about 20% that's remaining out of the 100% from the CFAP payments. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm just kind of wondering, Jamie, what's happening in that area? I mean, I know that all the money hasn't been distributed yet, and just what's going to happen as far as the 20% that is remaining? When will that go, and where will it go?
Absolutely. Well, you are spot on. There's been about $7 billion nationwide that have been issued to producers under the CFAP program, and right at $352 million in South Dakota specifically. And obviously, USDA is closely monitoring the funds that remain available. The initial CFAP deadline, as we know of today, is August 28th. And USDA continues to monitor what funds have been exhausted, and actually, through the notice of funds availability process, have expanded some of the eligible commodities to include some additional specialty crops. And I do know that with that deadline looming yet here in August, USDA continues to look at the funds that have been exhausted, obviously the producer interest in the program, and they will actively be assessing if and when that 20% remaining payment will be issued.
So, Jamie, do we know what's going to happen with a lot of these producers that didn't get as much because they didn't sell their cattle before the deadline or the determined date? Is there going to be anything coming later that may be helpful for them?
Well, there's a lot of discussion right now, obviously, both congressionally and by the president for additional potential coronavirus food assistance or assistance to agriculture specifically. So at this point in time, I wouldn't have any definitive answers to give in that regard. But what I do know under the coronavirus food assistance program today is that prices that were established for assistance in the final rule, those are not subject to revision. But if there's additional information that has been submitted through the notice of funds availability process, compelling information for commodities that were not included, that is something today that the Department of Agriculture is looking at. At this point in time, we have not received any indication that there will be any expanded payment availability for the initial CFAP application for those livestock held in inventory. But again, the vibe definitely is, obviously, that assistance continues to be needed, obviously, and those livestock that were held in inventory are definitely a viable component of future assistance.
So in South Dakota, Jamie, do we know, I mean, a lot of these producers, cattle producers especially out west, don't have a really day-to-day action or activity with their county office. Are we seeing more activity now because of this program, or do they still, are they not hearing about it, or do we need to do more to spread the word?
Absolutely. That is one thing. When the CFAP program was first unveiled in South Dakota, we obviously have always felt that we're a high-touch customer service organization and that producers in South Dakota throughout the state are aware of FSA and the programs that we administer. But we met and saw many new participants, livestock participants specifically under the CFAP program, and we have been very pleasantly surprised by their participation, but we have actively worked to get the word out, obviously through our partners. Obviously, you've been instrumental in that, but I do believe that is another key component that people sometimes, unless they've obviously had somebody direct them to the Farm Service Agency, if they aren't currently participating in their programs, they're not fully aware of the availability. And the other piece is that it's a very simple and streamlined program that the application process can be conducted remotely, and even for a new producer, there's very little paperwork that we do need to obtain to go ahead and process that CFAP application. But any additional support to remind those folks that the sign-up deadline still is August 28th, Obviously, we need them to reach out to the office, and if they can't complete the application by August 28th, we at least need to get their name on the register to ensure that they timely file an application or it's considered timely filed.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question is, do they have to register, or does it matter that they have the application finished? So thanks for clarifying that.
Jamie, do the public understand what CFAP means, what it does as far as the livelihood of those in agriculture? If you had to explain it in 60 seconds to the average person that doesn't deal with that every day, what would you tell them?
Well, what I would say, the CFAP program is designed not obviously to provide whole level risk or price protection, but it is intended to provide some financial assistance to help sustain our much needed farming and ranching operations as we navigate through the coronavirus pandemic. So it's not a whole fix, but it does provide an instant stimulus to help them continue operating.
So Jamie, how would they reach you?
They can reach us simply by calling their local service center, obviously, if they're familiar with that. Otherwise, go to fsa.usda.gov, and we have a county office locator, and it's going to put you in direct contact with each individual county office. And obviously, we can handle all applications virtually, and we stand ready to help.
Jamie, appreciate you talking with us today.
Thank you all. Have a great day.
Doug, one of the storylines that we talk about is the rising number of farm bankruptcies in the U.S. There's been an 8% uptick between June of 2019 and June of 2020. Do you want to share some of those numbers with us?
Yeah, this is really starting to get real serious, Bill. I mean, I just read an article the other day in the Wall Street Journal talking about this across the country, how it's actually getting out of hand. And now, you remember that what I'm talking about here is just the farm bankruptcies. We're not even talking about small business bankruptcies or individual bankruptcies. And this is going to get to be real serious this next year. As you all noticed that the government just can't seem to get along to help people out right now. that's the nicest way I can say that. But we're starting to have banks worry about what's going to happen out here in the countryside. And the worst thing is, Bill, as the farmers, those that make the living off the land and renewing a renewable product, as they start having these problems, so are our other businesses. I mean, we're going to see a lot of other local businesses that are going to struggle as well. And this could be a downhill slope real, real fast. And it's something that we got to be constantly talking about. But the biggest thing is make sure that you're keeping your options open. Make sure you're talking to your lenders and anyone that, owes you money as well. Make sure you're talking to them up front and early. Don't wait till the last minute.
And the farm bankruptcies is what we're talking about. But Midwest, Northwest, and Southeast accounting for 80% of the total U.S. filings. Wisconsin, I'm hearing 69%. Nebraska's at 38%. Minnesota and Georgia at 34% each. That's a lot.
It is. And it's not just any small little business either, Bill. I mean, they're not talking like dairies that are only 150 head or something like that. It's all different sizes. So, again, it's kind of like the coronavirus thing, right? I mean, it doesn't pick and choose who it goes after.
Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with the Farm Family of the Month. You should have told me about this quarterback. He's pretty good.
News Talk 1320 KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9 KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at kello.com. From the kello.com News Center, this is your Kello Agribusiness Report.
With your Ag News, I'm Farm and Ranch Director Sarah Heinrich. House Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson of Minnesota and Ranking Member Michael Conaway of Texas have sent a letter to the U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue, urging him to work with university policy research centers to analyze issues related to the cattle industry, especially in light of the recent and ongoing stress related to COVID-19. In the letter, Peterson and Conaway call on USDA's Office of the Chief Economist to evaluate cattle market structure, price discovery, price reporting, purchasing mandates, and barriers to entry in the packing sector. And we'll be back with more Ag News right after this. Hi, Sarah Heinrich here. My friends at the Steffes Group have the following upcoming timed online auctions. The Orvin and Janet Gojon Farm Retirement Auction. Bidding opens Friday, July 31st at 8 a.m. and closes Monday, August 10th at 10 a.m. featuring tractors, swathers, and much more. The huge Quibble Equipment Auction. Bidding opens Friday, August 7th at 8 a.m. and closes Monday, August 17th at noon featuring several tractors, John Deere combines, and much more. Go to steffesgroup.com today and check out these and other upcoming auctions. Go with Steffes. They're the best.
How do I fill my hopper this harvest?
How am I going to fill my hopper this year?
Call Proceed or go to proceed.net. Ask about the Right Choice program.
Proceed's Right Choice program this year is featuring the Yeti Hopper 12 Cooler. Give your hoppers all they can handle with your favorite high-yielding Proceed varieties, and we'll fill your Yeti Hopper 12 with some great gear.
How am I going to fill my hopper this harvest?
Well, fill it with Proceed corn, of course.
Find out more at proceed.net.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Farm Service Agency has announced changes for emergency hay and grazing of acres enrolled in the CRP program. This includes changes outlined in the 2018 Farm Bill. Previously, emergency hay and grazing requests originated with FSA at the county level and required state and national level approval. Now, approval will be based on drought severity as determined by the U.S. Drought Monitor. To date, 500 counties nationwide have triggered eligibility for emergency hay and grazing on CRP acres. Before hay or grazing eligible acres, producers must submit a request for CRP emergency hay or grazing to FSA and obtain a modified conservation plan from the NRCS. With a look at your top Ag News headlines from across the region, I'm Farm and Ranch Director Sarah Heinrich.
Mostly sunny skies and warm weather today. Our high temperature at 85 with a south wind at 5 to 15. Showers and thunderstorms developing overnight tonight. Our low temperature is 66. Chance of rain tomorrow morning, then partly sunny with a high in the middle 80s. Another chance of a scattered thunderstorm Thursday, high 87. From the Storm Center at Kenilworth TV, I'm meteorologist Brian Karstoon.
If news is happening, you're hearing it now. Kello, News Talk 1320, 107.9, and Kello.com.
I'm Bill Zortman with South Dakota Farmers Union President Doug Sompke. You can visit the South Dakota Farmers Union website at sdfu.org, which has information about hearing this monthly podcast at your convenience. Or share it with a friend or the family how to listen each month. Steve McCants, South Dakota Farmers Union, celebrating a Dallas farm family. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, I understand from my good friend Laura Rohde that you don't leave much to chance. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I guess I would just say that by that, we try to be fairly thorough with what we do and complete a task to the bitter end.
You know, one of the things that you seem to like to have is a good team to do what you have to with a lot of acres. You've been farming for a number of years. My guess is you've learned that one or two things through that time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We try to assign tasks to the proper people who will handle that task and not give them too much and not give them too little.
Your philosophy on farming comes from mentor. Do you want to share who it is?
Yeah, I have a couple of different mentors. My parents would be the first mentors for my faith and for my personality of diligence. I learned a lot of techniques from a good family friend, and I worked for him and with him in my early years of farming. And this would be Frank and Geneva Putz, who now reside in Vermilion, South Dakota. They have been retired for a long time. Frank will be celebrating his 99th birthday.
Wow.
September 9th. And his wife, Ginny, is 95 years old. They will be celebrating 75 years of marital bliss. I don't know exactly when their anniversary is. It's coming up here in the next couple of months. So that says an awful lot about them. They're pretty good people.
Steve McCants, South Dakota Farmers Union. We're celebrating family with him. And you kind of point out that farming can be a struggle, but that you enjoy new life associated with farming. Tell us what you mean.
Back in the days when I used to raise hogs, I derived some kind of sick pleasure of walking into a farrowing house. I used to have farrow sows and did farrow to finish operation, small, but so I still did it nonetheless. And it just gives you satisfaction to walk into a barn with new life, healthy young pigs, cattle be the same way, new life with the calves and into the crop growing. The same deal. You plant seeds, and of course, the seed has to die to produce, and all of that is part of that new life that we are blessed to be able to see.
Apparently, in your family, you've taught people, and you have learned from that. Say, when you start something, you finish it, even a tough task. And there have been a few with the recent years.
Yep. One of the things that I learned from my mentor, Mr. Putz, is that we need to be diligent on every square foot of ground that we are, or every square foot of acreage that we're planting to crops, so that it all has a chance to return the greatest amount of return for investment. And and be diligent that gets done, that, you know, you give yourself the maximum opportunity for return.
40-some years you've been involved on the farming side. What do you hope your family has learned from you that they will carry on for generations to come?
Well, there's a lot of it. There's
well,
so
things that you can talk about.
Well, things that, you know, where I guess where I would go with that is that some of the things that I have described that, you know, like as you said in the beginning, we don't leave too much of anything to chance. When we need to do a task, do it and do it to its completion. And that would encompass, you know, checking grain in bins and stored grain, that kind of thing, checking cattle that they've got water, you know, just, I mean, there's just a whole host of that type of thing that needs to be done to completion and not left to chance, because you leave it to chance and one day you drive over and the cows are bellowing because they're out of water.
You guys are into sports, too. You've got a quarterback in the family that, with all the cancellations they've had, may not get to play football this year.
Yeah, that's a huge disappointment. I'll have to correct you on that one. We have two quarterbacks in the family.
Oh, well, excuse me.
I was also a quarterback.
Were you any good?
I was also a quarterback. I couldn't hold a candle to my son and what he's done. But when I was in high school, I was also a quarterback. That's where he probably came up with some of those notions that he's got. But he has, when he was about 11 or 12 years old, he went out and bought himself a set of barbells and began working out. And he's worked out every day since. And as for what he lacked in physical ability, his diligence in working out, he gained, you know, all of the ability that he has.
Steve McCants, South Dakota Farmers Union farm family, we appreciate you. Good luck to you. We need to get your son on, figure out why he was a better quarterback than you are.
More diligence. He specialized in that. Actually, my passion was on the wrestling mat.
Well, there's a lot to be proud of with what you're doing. Keep doing it. Keep finishing things. And make us all proud, will you please?
I'll do my very best.
Steve McCants, thanks for the visit. Doug, Steve McCants, quite the guy.
Oh, yeah, I tell you, you know, that family, again, just emphasizes why it's so important that we keep family farmers vibrant and successful on the land, because look how it goes down through the generations, and look where he learned it from and how he's passing that on. A lot of the stuff you can't learn in a college or in a classroom. You've got to learn it firsthand out there and really experience it. And that's what family farmers do. We teach it. And a lot of times we don't even realize we're teaching it, right? I mean, it's something that Steve and his family should be very proud of, and something that we at Farmers Union really try to do our best to make sure that gets passed on.
I did love the fact that if they start a project, they're going to finish it. That's a pretty good milestone to leave for the next generation.
Absolutely.
You know, ethanol. I've seen a couple of releases that you guys have put out asking for a little help, wanting it expanded by 2030. What's that about?
Yeah, you know, at the current rate that we're going at here, Bill, we just aren't ever going to get ahead of the curve at where we're at with agriculture, especially corn ethanol. And we've got to start doing a better job of marketing our product. We've got to do a better job of branding that product. And it's very healthy. It's very good. I mean, there's so many advantages to it for the consumer and for the environment. And right now, you know, the EPA is just not following through. So, you know, we're doing everything we can to get the word out. A letter that Jim and I, Jim Sire from Glacier Lakes Energy, that we wrote and published in the Argus Leader here this last week, now has been picked up by several ethanol publications. And we just got to keep being very diligent about this. I mean, everyone thinks, why ethanol? Why ethanol? Well, the fact of the matter is it's renewable, and it's very good for the land, and it also helps us sequester carbon in the soil. There's a lot of good reasons that we want to continue to grow this crop and use that ethanol, and the byproducts that are coming out of ethanol. We're finding more uses for that every day. Unfortunately, we're going to start losing some of these ethanol plants. We already have lost some because of these low prices and oversupply and not enough use in our own fuels. So there's besides, you know, being good for the farmer, it's good for everyone.
All right. Do you want to introduce me to Anthony Bly?
You know, yeah, you know, he's going to be on here right now, right?
He's ready. He's been doing the barbell stuff up there at SDSU, too.
Now, Anthony is, you know, he's an extension field specialist from SDSU, and glad to have him on the show, and I'm not going to take up any more of his time.
Anthony, good morning. I understand you're going to kind of give us a crop update around the great state of South Dakota.
Yeah, good morning. I'd love to do that. Where would you like to start?
I'll let you pick a region, and if it's the wrong region, I won't say anything.
Well, you know, guys, it's really been a variable year across our state. Coming off of 2019 and the disaster that it was in a lot of places, we've got some really good-looking crops in most of our state. We've got some very dry areas in some parts of our state, and we've got some really moist areas. For instance, we'll go to Brown County. The northern part of Brown County is very wet with that rain near Frederick and Elm Lake that they got. And the southern part of Brown County could use a shot of rain. It's getting kind of dry there. Of course, you come to the southeast where your radio station is located. You know, the southeast could use some more rain. We got some yesterday morning and over the weekend that was very welcome. But the crops are holding out very well, and I think that's a testament to how good our soils are in South Dakota. and how much water that they hold from year to year. I think we underestimate that. And so we're kind of living on last year's problem in a lot of places. That overabundance of water last year is helping us out in a lot of places. I still believe that. Crops, by and large, are ahead, way ahead of, I don't want to make it overestimated, but they're far ahead of average. They're progressing quite well. I think we're looking for really good yields. Heard some winter wheat reports, from West of Pier, 90 to over 100 bushels. Spring wheat reports out of, Brown County. Groton area, 80, 85 bushels, so very good there. But then we contrast that to some of our small grains in the southern part of the state. We're in the southeast corner, and that hot wind that we had in June really hurt them. And so test weights are down on some of those grains and the yields as well. But I think the corn and soybeans, they're warm season crops, so they're looking quite well, and if we keep going like this, I expect some really, really high numbers in some of these fields come this fall.
Anthony Bly, South Dakota State University Extension Field Specialist. Appreciate the tour around South Dakota. I guess if we took some rain in August, it wouldn't hurt anybody's feelings anyplace, right?
That would be just great. I think those areas that have been getting it would also take it as well, because I don't see too many places of an over an abundance of precip this year like we had last year.
Amen. Anthony Bly, appreciate you. We're going to check in with the State Fair. You ready to go to that, Doug?
Absolutely. Looking forward to visiting with Candy.
And then Laura Edwards, the state climatologist, all a part of the South Dakota Farmers Union show.
Missing things this year. Some things we can't do much about. But if you're missing what people are saying to you, we can fix that. This is Bill Zortman from It's Your Business. It starts with Stanford Hearing, your trusted hearing provider since 1983. Local best winner, 15 years and running. Perhaps you struggle hearing people talk with a noisy background. Do you ask people to repeat what they said or find yourself leaning towards them to hear better? Put your hearing health care back into a top priority. We're reconnecting with a world you shouldn't miss out. Untreating hearing loss impacts people's relationships, increases the chance of depression, creates isolation and loneliness. Get connected. Call Stanford Hearing at 605-467-5935 to schedule your appointment. Call to ask about the summer savings. After all, we want to hear from you at Stanford Hearing. 605-467-5935.
Stacy Dykstra is with me, Kane Ellsworth. Who is Kane Ellsworth?
Kane Ellsworth & Company is a certified public accounting firm. Kane Ellsworth typically works with closely held businesses that are owned by families, that are owned by friends, that are owned by neighbors. We don't work with publicly traded companies. Our niche focuses are manufacturing, community banking, mutual insurance companies, agribusiness, and we work with a lot of construction contractors, professional services. Our website is KaneEllsworth.com, and that is spelled C-A-I-N, Kane Ellsworth.
When you want to feel plugged into the community, keep it on Calo. News Talk 1320, 107.9, and Calo.com.
So what do you think, Doug? Do you like that song?
The first time I seen that and heard that, it was a long time ago, Bill. It's still about the same. No, I do like that song. I really do.
And we like Candy Briley, too, from the State Fair. Again, we got a State Fair that's going to follow a couple of the county fairs that have happened. Candy, are you guys getting ready?
Yes, we absolutely are. We just had the National Red Power Roundup out here. Finished up yesterday, and so we're quickly cleaning up from that and transitioning to prepare for the 135th annual South Dakota State Fair.
That's a long time. I wasn't around then. I know I look old, but I wasn't there. Doug and I combined might have been there 130 some years, but that's best we could do. So what is different this year? Everything is being careful, you know, whether we go to Sturgis or we go to the other fairs, people are being careful. What are you guys doing this year?
You know, we're, you know, obviously putting a lot of emphasis on health and hygiene while people are out here. We've created a lot of signage that will go up in different areas around the grounds in different languages, you know, just encouraging people to practice social distancing, stay home if you're not feeling well, reminding people to wash their hands, use hand sanitizer. We have a lot of different hand sanitizer units and hand washing stations that will be spread out around the fairgrounds. We will be working or focusing more on sanitizing high touch points more often and just doing cleaning in general more often and spreading out some seating here and there. So we're really focusing on making the fair a really wonderful experience for our fairgoers.
Doug, South Dakota Farmers Union has been a big partner of the fair for years. You guys have had to be a little different this year because of all that's going on.
Yeah, we're very concerned, like Candy is, about this. You know, everyone's doing the what I like to call the three W's. You know, you wash your hands, watch your distance, and wear a mask. And I think, you know, one thing about here in South Dakota, I think that a lot of people are doing that on a pretty conscious basis. I mean, we're very fortunate that we have the natural social distancing that we have out here with the number of people that we have for the number of acres and or square footage that we have. But, yeah, I think, you know, Candy has demonstrated that they are doing the best that they can for the fair and for the people that will be attending and looking forward to what happens this year. I know it's going to be completely different, Candy, and I hope and pray that everything goes well for everyone. And we've been doing this for, I can't remember now, Candy, how many years we've been sponsoring the Day of Farmers Union Day at the fair, but it's probably going on 10 years or maybe a little more than that now. I don't even know.
Boy, it's been a long time. I always talk about pre-Candy and after Candy, and I've been with the fair since 2006, and you guys have been a fantastic partner since 2006. So it's been a long time that you guys have been supporting the fair, and you know your support this year just emphasizes the importance of the fair, because after all, the fair is a celebration of agriculture and youth, and to continue that support this year is more important, and it kind of just hits the nail on the head about the importance of the fair and celebrating agriculture and youth.
Candy, in 60 seconds, tell us what we should know about the fair carrying forward.
Yeah, you know, we're working on putting on a great lineup for the fair. We have free entertainment around the grounds. Our livestock shows and our open-class barns are going to be really great shows. Our carnival, we'll have a full carnival. We'll have our static exhibit buildings open. We'll have vendors, both indoors and outdoors. We have great lineup in our grandstand with bull riding, a couple different free events on the weekend evenings, and then capping it off with the truck and tractor pull on Monday. So we're really working hard to put on a really fantastic state fair for folks to come out to this year. I know that there's people that that want to come out and enjoy themselves in a safe manner, and we're going to be the place for folks to do that at.
South Dakota State Fair, Candy Briley, appreciate the visit. We'll talk again as we get closer.
All right, very good. Thank you, Bill.
State climatologist Laura Edwards joins us this morning, and with our ag audience, they want to know what's happening in each corner of South Dakota. What would you tell us?
Well, you know, starting with just yesterday morning, that round of storms coming through the southeastern part of the state, you know, a fair bit of that area, including Sioux Falls, has been in D1 or moderate drought on the drought monitor. So we needed the rain, but we could have done maybe without the hail and winds. But fortunately, the South Dakota part of that storm fared okay coming out of that, and we didn't get too much storm damage from the hail and winds, which is good. Unfortunately, you know, further east, we saw a lot of the high wind damage in Iowa as it moved eastward. But we did get some rain out of that. you know, half inch or so in the Sioux Falls area. So it'll keep things on the level, I think. Not really degrading, probably, but probably not getting too much better, just kind of holding steady. Similar and differently in the northeastern part of the state, you know, we've had another week of very dry conditions up in the Aberdeen area and around that way. I could see things kind of taking a turn for the worst here drought-wise, as well as it's been dry here for the last month or so or more. Could really use some rain up this way. And then out west, again, they had some spotty rains way far west, and there is drought out that way as well, especially in the southwest, where they really struggled with grasses and forage this year and hay. But again, looks like they had some kind of rainfall last week, again, just to kind of keep things steady. So, it wasn't too much rain anywhere statewide except for the area just east of the Missouri River in that southern part of the state. They had about 2 to 4 inches last week, but they weren't in any drought even before that. So, looking ahead this week, we've got several chances of thunderstorms coming up in the next, 3-4 days in the Sioux Falls area. So we'll see if we can catch some more rains.
If you're a farmer out there, and again, there's big differences between the north and the south, the east and the west, do you want a little rain? A lot of those that are the ag leaders that we talk to say, if you can take the rain, get it anytime in August.
Yeah, that's pretty much true, you know, especially for soybeans. We're getting in that pod filling stage, and this is a critical time for soybeans to get moisture in August here. For corn, we're kind of past the most important time of the season, but still they could use the rain as well to keep the crop in good condition. So we can get to harvest and have good grain still. And also in this time of year is when a lot of farmers are planting their cover crops after they harvest wheat or oats and small grains. They're planting some other things to cover the land and save the soil and improve their soil health. So, rain helps for all of those things. So we're not out of the woods yet on drought concerns, I'd say, in this area.
South Dakota State climatologist Laura Edwards, I don't know how you'd be more complete than what you just gave us, cover crops and everything else between now and who knows when. Laura, thanks for your time.
All right, thank you.
Doug, we got lots of people we know in this great state to give us lots of information in about 52 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah, like I said, it goes fast, Bill. You guys do a great job running the program for us and getting this information out. And always enjoy coming and being a part of your show.
You do good stuff. And I think we had some good people on today. And if people are saying, well, gee, you know, I want X to hear it, you guys will have it posted on your website, correct?
Yeah, we always post it on the website, and you can always listen to it anytime.
All right, Doug, last thought that we should share with the public. We've got about 30 seconds.
Well, you know, just, everyone be safe out there and keep doing what you're doing. Really appreciate the work that you guys do for us, Bill, as well. And, you know, start of school is coming up, and we'll see how everything goes into the future here. And again, help each other, look out for each other, and we'll get through all of this.
Working together, what it's about. I'm Bill Zortman with Doug Somke, President, South Dakota Farmers Union. For all 20,000 members, our time is up. Thank you for yours.
Kello News Talk 1320 KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9 KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at kello.com.